Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Walked off the golf course and into the studio. Preparing myself for the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, which will be May 6th at the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club. The Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, a great Valley tradition, which we are proud to be a part of. We'll have our show there on Wednesday, May 6th. We'll be playing in the morning flight, which is a warning to all of you. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Our schedule this week from the Sunbury Motor Studio is as follows. Tomorrow, we'll have wide receiver coach Josh Gattis on the show. Also tomorrow, defensive line coach Sean Spencer. On Wednesday, quarterback coach Ricky Ronnie. Thursday, head coach James Franklin. Friday, coach in charge of the corners, Terry Smith. That's our schedule for this week to get you ready for the blue-white game. Half the staff. I can tell someone is feverishly writing.
No, I couldn't keep up.
That's Gattis with two T's. G-A-T-T-I-S.
Doesn't matter. My shorthand stinks.
So again, wide receiver coach Josh Gattis tomorrow. Defensive line coach Sean Spencer tomorrow. Quarterback coach Ricky Ronnie on Wednesday. Head coach James Franklin on Thursday. And the guy in charge of the corners and the secondary, Terry Smith, will join us on Friday. If that's not enough to get you ready for the blue-white game, I strongly recommend you change shows. And then ask them what their guest list is. I'm actually doing an event tomorrow with Jeff Gordon. Any questions you want me to ask him?
Not off the top of my head, but I'll come up with a couple.
Yeah, okay, great. I mean, this is one of the icons of your sport.
Not really my sport, but it is a sport that I will spend some time with every now and then.
He's one of your people.
No, I wouldn't go that far either.
I mean, who's your driver in NASCAR?
I don't really have one. I like Dale Jr., but, you know, it seems like an easy pick. I mean, it's not everybody.
Everybody likes Dale. Yeah. Everybody likes Dale Jr.
Man up and
pick somebody.
I like him not because of how he drives or anything. I just like him because of his overall persona and personality. I just think he gets it.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting that you say that.
And now you're going to ruin it.
No, it's the opposite. The champion's dinner for the Masters is Tuesday night. And the champion's dinner. Oh, brother.
85 years. I'm sorry. It was just laying out there. Go ahead. I'm listening now.
Forget it. We're done. No, I'm just kidding. No. The champion's dinner was Tuesday night. And Arnold Palmer is now 85 years old. And you can talk about the greats of the game. Gene Sarazen, Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson, Bobby Jones, Harry Vardon, Francis Wiemet. You know, there's a lot of great players in the history of the game. But when they transitioned to the television age, Arnold Palmer caught the fascination of many. And there was Arnie's Army. And he was always known for being incredibly gracious about the game, his competitors, and the fans, especially the fans. Now, Arnie knows he's 85 now. He feels it, the aches and pains. His shoulder really is bothering him. And you can see on the ceremonial shot that he took on Thursday, it really is bothering him. But he was a part of everything that went on, from sitting there as part of Nicklaus's gallery watching the par three contest, to being a part of the champions dinner, to doing the ceremonial opening shots. And he made an impassioned speech to the champions at the champions dinner. And part of it, of the speech, was, look, don't get too caught up in who you are. Okay? Engage with the fans. Be a part of it. Understand that it's the fans who go out and play the game on an everyday basis. It's the fans who come out to specifically see you hit great shots. He said, keep that in mind. Don't separate yourself from the fans. It was basically the basic message he tried to deliver in the speech. And it's a speech that I think every athlete, I think, needs to hear. And that was as important as anything. I mean, did you notice who was signing autographs left and right after everything he did?
You mentioned earlier in the week Tiger, or later in the week, that Tiger was doing that a lot.
Tiger Woods. And that's important. And all the players talked about this. And evidently, when he gave this speech, it was very emotional. On Tuesday, it was not a matter of fact of, you know, looking at a group of individuals and saying, look, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. Evidently, he was very emotional about what it means to give back to the game and to recognize that the huge purses that you have today are because the fans have been coming out in droves over the years to watch you play. And I think that's noteworthy.
He gets it.
Well, he always has. That's the difference.
Yeah.
He always has.
See,
I've only been around him one time, but
I think that's the big thing that a lot of these athletes are forgetting, is where the money that they earn is coming from. I mean, that's like you and I not realizing that, you know, listeners and the sponsors of this program are the ones who let us do the talking and let us do this every day. That's if
well,
we
exactly
completely
right.
Ignored them, we wouldn't have anything. And that's what Arnie was trying to prove, the point he was trying to prove.
Now, I do understand, all right, quite frankly, that are there some overzealous fans?
No question.
And you know, I realize that you're wary of that, but 90%+ of fans are tremendous. They're great. They're just into what's going on. I mean, I've talked before about, you know, message boards. Well, message boards happen to be the habitat of those who are very, very passionate about their team and want to express themselves. Now, that doesn't mean I have to agree with it. And it also, you know, you have to understand, I might have a little more information than they have to work with. I'm there every day. Regardless of that, I appreciate their passion for Penn State football, that they want to express themselves. Again, it's irrelevant whether I think it's right or wrong or I agree with it or not. I appreciate their passion for Penn State football. The worst thing to do is to have a message board and it's empty. That tells you there's no interest in your program. I mean, the fans reside there. I have some ideas as to how I think things could be better. Okay. That's fine. I'm glad you care enough to come up with some ideas. I'm glad you care enough to sit back and think about, you know what, this is what I think they should do. That's fine. Are some workable? Maybe. Are some not workable? Yeah. But again, what people need to keep in mind when it comes to me giving answers one way or the other on suggestions is that I'm around it every single day. I'm at every practice. So that's why I know who's out there, who's not, who's banged up, who's struggling, who's flourishing, where depth hurts them, things like that. I'll give you a great example. People have complained about Penn State special teams and in recent years. Absolutely justified. Here's the big problem. Fans love the walk-ons. Love them. They want to be a part of your program. So they walk onto the program. They pay tuition. They pay their room. And they want to be a part of the football team. Love those kids. But there's also a reality. There's a reality why you're a walk-on. Some do pan out and work out great. Von Walker would be one on the current team. I think Brandon Smith's done a fine job from Lewisburg. Ryan Kaiser rose from walk-on to scholarship. But you notice on special teams, who's populated special teams in recent years? In 12, 13, and into 14. A lot of walk-ons. Well, that's about to change for Penn State this year because now you're going to see a lot of scholarship players that are trying to earn their spot, get on those special teams, which will change the athleticism, the speed quotient, and things like that. Okay? That's an explanation as to what's happened. And the fans love the walk-ons. They complain about the special teams, and it turns out that part of the problem with the special teams is the part they love. Okay, that's fine. That's why you have somebody that can answer some of those questions. But it doesn't mean for one second I sit back and don't think that the passion's out there. You post on a message board, that means you care. Like I said, I don't have to agree with it. It doesn't matter. You don't have to agree with me either. But I appreciate the passion. I appreciate that you care a lot. And that's what he was trying to say. These people are out there. They bought tickets. They care. Those little kids waiting for you out off the practice range care. Like, they're looking up to you. Like, wow, I can't believe it. It's Tiger Woods. Wow, it's Phil Mickelson. Wow, it's Jordan Spieth. It's Rory McIlroy. It's Kevin Streelman. It's whatever. And that was the point he was trying to make. Now, bring it back to NASCAR. Jeff Gordon's been pretty accessible to a lot of fans over the years. Dale Earnhardt Jr. has. But there have been some along the way that, as Kevin has mentioned, has taken it from being, hey, I got to go to corporate this, corporate that, corporate this, corporate that, and they eliminate the common fan. The common fan is the one that makes the seats look like they're filled up. I know the corporate partner brings in a ton of cash, but boy, I'll tell you, there have been a couple races where you look at it, and I'll give you an example. On the IndyCar circuit, you're sitting there going, okay, they didn't sell a lot of tickets. Well, it's the fan that buys those tickets
They may not have enough to sit in the corporate box, but they care enough to actually be in those seats. There are going to be fans coming out in droves to the Heritage this year, this week, at Hilton Head. It's not the Masters. It's the event after the Masters. They're all going to be there. You can't sign enough stuff, and you can't take enough time to stop and say hi to people. You got to be able to do that. You got to. And the Masters ratings this year, way up. Masters ratings, way up. Final Four, way up. NCAA men's basketball tournament, way up. IndyCar fading. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Penn State's opener with Rutgers on Saturday, or the Big Ten opener with Rutgers on Saturday, September 19th, will be a primetime BTN game. That will be the it'll be a primetime game. I don't know if it's going to be 7 or 8. It doesn't say. BTN released their primetime schedule. And the primetime schedule will be Kent State at Illinois on September 4th, September 12th, South Alabama at Nebraska on the 19th, Rutgers at Penn State, Hawaii at Wisconsin on September 26th. That should be culture shock. Michigan at Maryland on October 3rd, Michigan State at Rutgers October 10th, and Minnesota at Iowa on Saturday, November 14th. So those are the primetime games on BTN.
As we get ready for the news, I have a quick baseball question for you.
Yeah, the ball's stitched.
And I know you're going to have fun with it, but I'm going to ask it anyway. How long before Ryan Howard moves out of the four slot in Philadelphia? Is he a number four hitter anymore in the majors?
You're a hater.
No, I'm asking a question because I'm watching him this weekend and I'm not seeing a number four hitter there.
You're a hater. You know, Chris Wheeler went to practice with me on Saturday. Okay, about you?
I'm sure. We should have a long talk with Wheels sometime.
His theory doesn't match yours.
I'd love to hear his theory. I'm open.
No, you're not. You're very close-minded.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us today. Show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament coming up on Wednesday, May 6th, Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Kevin and I will be out there with Drew Kelly. Looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun. See what kind of shot that Kevin can pull out of the bag this time. You've hit some memorable ones.
That's true. Not many of them have resulted in a good score at the end of the hole, but I have had some memorable shots.
Hey, there have been some real moments where we sat back and went, hey. And then we get around the green and we all kind of like gather around so nobody can see as you take out that shutter and try that because we know it's an illegal club.
Checked with several pros and semi-pros and all agree the shutter is a legal club because it only has a blade on one side.
Okay, let's talk. Yeah, like this. Let's get to the semi-pro stuff. That's the key right there. You didn't really go to club professionals. Okay, you went to a group of weekend hackers.
I went to club professionals as well. I wanted to get both opinions.
Is this piece of junk legal? Really?
I don't think that's exactly the way I brought it across.
No, it's okay. You can quote me.
It's all right. You like the cheddar when it holds out. All of a sudden, the cheddar is the best club in the bag.
Well, we're still waiting for that to happen.
No, we're
all right.
Not.
Okay. This is an article on Troy Polamalu. Troy Polamalu was once on track to be the greatest safety ever. This is not good for your guy. After a lengthy deliberation about his future, Steelers safety Troy Polamalu took the high road and announced last Thursday he'll retire from the NFL. Blah, 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 blah. One of the best and most recognizable players of his generation. He leaves the game at the age of 33. He was undeniably brilliant at his peak, helping to change the way the game was played. So far, all accurate, right? There was a time when he was even on track to be one of the best careers ever at his position. Unfortunately, injuries in recent seasons may have robbed him of a chance to truly vie for GOAT status at safety. It's a complicated legacy. You doing okay? You all right?
I'm fine. I don't care what anybody says. He's still the number one safety in my book.
They have something here called, and it's a metric, and it's called approximate value at safety.
Oh, so now you're going to go ahead with sabermetrics when it actually works in your favor. Is that what you're telling me now?
I'm just talking here.
All right, I'm listening.
It's a talk show, for goodness sakes.
I judged. I'll listen.
Okay? The number one safety on here is actually a pretty easy call. And it is... Come on.
The top two are
pretty easy. Ronnie Lott and Paul Krause.
Okay.
Do I have to tell you who Paul Krause was?
Unfortunately, I believe you do.
Okay. Paul Krause, number 22 in your program, by the way. Played for the Minnesota Vikings for many, many years. Outstanding. I think he had 79 interceptions in his career. I mean, he had a boatload of interceptions. Let me look at the number just to make sure. I thought it was 79. And he was... You look at some of the great players... Do you follow the games?
The game since I've been alive, yeah.
He was alive when you were...
When did he play?
He played in the 60s and 70s.
What 70s?
I mean, what 70s?
When in the 70s did he play? I honestly don't know. I'm asking.
He played for the Redskins from 64 to 67. He played for the Vikings from 68 to 79.
All right. Well, I would have been 8 when he retired, so.
I was wrong. He did not have 79 interceptions. He had 81. That's a big number.
So he's 2 on the list, did you say?
Behind Ronnie Lott, yes.
Okay.
All pro 64, 65, 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, and 75.
I do remember Ronnie Lott, by the way. I just thought to clear that up.
Yeah, good. 81 career interceptions, which is the NFL record. He's number one all time. Get so bent out of shape about the Redskins. although he intercepted 28 passes in his first 4 seasons with the Redskins, he was traded to the Vikings for linebacker Marlon McKeever and a 7th round draft choice. I remember Marlon McKeever. He mostly played with the Rams, but no wonder they drive Roger crazy. Good Lord.
Okay.
This was one of the... Okay, so he also forced 19 fumbles. He returned them 163 yards and had three touchdowns off of those. He only missed two games in 16 years.
That's impressive.
Your guy misses two games in 2 weeks.
I would imagine.
On the list, but he's down a little bit further. Cross, by the way, real estate development insurance, owns several restaurants, and also owns a golf course. Jeez. What a life. Polamalu's third. Leroy Butler, four. Cornell Green, five. Dave Grayson, six. Ed Reed is seventh. The great Johnny Robinson of the Chiefs is eighth. Cliff Harris, nine. Mel Renfro's in the Hall of Fame. He's 10. Richie Pettibone, who was really good. Not in the Hall of Fame, though. And Larry Wilson's in the Hall of Fame. Roger Worley's in the Hall of Fame.
Ronnie Lott makes a lot of sense there.
The metric of what they call AV, approximate value, which, you know, I'm not a big believer in, but I'll give you the numbers anyway. Up to the age of 30, there are only three that are 100 or better. Lott 1, Krause 2, Polamalu 3. Age 31 to 33.
Uh-oh. Well, there's Lott, no question things went downhill.
Lott 33, Krause 32, Butler 18, Cornell Green 23, Ed Reed 38, Johnny Robinson 31, Mel Renfro 34, Richie Pettibone 28, Larry Wilson 23, Darren Sharper 26, Donnie Shell 25, Roger Worley 23, Leroy Butler 18, and sitting at 16 is Troy Polamalu. Now, the premise of this guy's article is this. A lot of safeties don't get into the Hall of Fame. It's one of those positions that, for whatever reason, it doesn't happen. I mean, on this list that I just gave you, okay, there are only five safeties. Lott, Krause, Renfro, Wilson, and Worley. That's it. And they say that Polamalu will make it to the Pro Bowl someday, but it's not as much of an absolute lock as it once looked.
So they think he'll make it to the Hall of Fame, but not a lock on the first ballot.
Yes. They say Polamalu's current mark is below the average Hall of Famer.
Interesting.
As well as the threshold that would typically give a player a coin flip's chance of making the Hall by historical standards. Now, here comes something very strange I'm going to say. But think about it. Polamalu, to me, is an absolute Hall of Famer. So please, let's not sit there and say I'm saying he's not. He is. Okay? All right, so that way you don't panic and jump down my throat here.
Okay.
Right. You know what's going to help him? Believe it or not, that hair flying out of the back of the helmet's going to help him.
You know, it's funny. I was going to say as a joke his Head and Shoulders commercial, but I decided against it.
Well, but not the Head and Shoulders
commercial. But the hair is what, that was what I meant, yeah.
He had a distinctive look that made him stand out. Now, I think he'll make it, and I think Ed Reed. I think they'll both make it.
That, and you said I said a small prayer after every play.
Who?
That, and that Troy said a small prayer after every play.
What, that he made it?
No.
But it's really interesting that I saw this article and I thought, wow. Now, the next part, too, is you got to wait 5 years. This is not...
When is Ed Reed available?
The year before, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, the year before.
Because wouldn't it be interesting? It's been, what, 20-some years since a safety has been picked for the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be interesting if they came in on the same ballot?
See, the problem with the Hall, though, as I pointed out when it came to your guy, you know, Mr. 3.9.
Who's in the Hall?
No, he's not there yet.
Well, they can't take it away. I'll put it that way.
They can. I've petitioned.
Good luck. All right. So, moving on.
I'll tell you, Bobby Duhon averaged a bit more.
Oh, just stop. He didn't have as good a marketing.
Love Bobby Duhon. Doug Kotar. There's only five guys get in. It's going to depend who the five are. Now, you would think Polamalu is a guy that goes to the front of the class. But take, for example, honestly, when the ballot came out this year, I'll tell you the first guy I looked at and thought that guy's a lock was Kurt Warner. He didn't make it. I thought he was the lock in the group.
Well, if you look at the way some of the top safeties are available for the Hall, Dawkins is eligible, what, 17?
Yeah.
Reed is 19, and then Troy in 20. John Lynch hasn't even been close. He hasn't even been close.
Nope.
But I honestly believe that those three probably get in before Lynch does.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. But here's the issue. There are going to be a lot of wide receivers.
No, I mean, think about it. Here's some of the names that I just happened to think about, Steve, that came up. Brett Favre. Randy Moss.
He's up next. He's next year.
Yep.
Moss.
LaDainian Tomlinson. Ray Lewis becomes available.
Terrell Owens.
Tony Gonzalez. Brian Urlacher. All within the, at least within the next 4 years.
Yeah.
So based on that, Troy coming up in 2020 may actually be a positive, whereas Dawkins and Reed coming up before may hurt them. And then if they don't get in, yeah, obviously it's hard for Polamalu to get in on the first ballot.
But see, that's what, see what happens though, is there starts to be a backlog.
Exactly. Yep.
Right? I mean, and Bettis got into a backlog, and finally I think there ends up being a sentiment that it's your turn. And I think Bettis got in because it was his turn. In other words, he was deserving the other years, but you know what I mean? There's such a backlog. That's a problem with five. I don't understand why they limit it to five. But that's their rule, their deal, well, and that's fine.
Do they think of the way, like the Baseball Hall of Fame? Do they compare themselves to the Baseball Hall of Fame? And I'm not saying this is the truth, but do they think, well, we don't want to dilute it like baseball can do?
Well, it's different because it's the Baseball Writers Association of America that votes.
Right.
And they're all over the, I don't know how many votes are there that have ballots. But I think in football, there's only 46. That's it. You have 46 votes. Not a lot. So the how it's done is different. I just found it to be interesting. When I saw that, I thought, wow. You know, I never really figured that the end of his career would affect, you know, what goes on. But evidently it does. Evidently there are going to be some people that might hold the end of his career against him. Maybe all of you Steeler fans who begged him to retire were right. Maybe you got him into the Hall of Fame. Maybe it's because of you that you were able to get him home to the Hall. Please, Troy, quit now.
My lobbying for Jerome worked.
Don't hang on. I talked to Peter King about that. He said, "You were in the end, you hurt him."
Peter King, by the way, is one of the first to admit that they've really done poorly at voting for safeties.
Yes, well, that's because they have. There are only six in there. Okay, the game did not just start in 1981.
Safety's a brand new position.
it's like, holy cow. There's some pretty good names in that list. Personally, I thought Spider Lockhart was better than Troy Polamalu, but that's all right.
Spider should be a linebacker's name.
You don't even know who Spider Lockhart is.
No clue. But I admit
first
it.
First name, Carl. Played for the Giants, wore number 43. Back with more in a moment. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, let me guess. It's Hyundai!
Hyundai!
It's a month-long celebration, 100 years in the making, at Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
Hyundai!
In the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Save over $11,000 on new 2014 Genesis R-Spec 400-horsepower luxury sedan. Celebration savings with 0% financing for 72 months on all new 2015 Hyundai Sonata Hybrids and $1,000 in bonus cash. 10-year powertrain warranty coverage and 37-mile-per-gallon combined average equal unmatched value and savings. Celebration savings on all 2015 Elantra SE and Limiteds with 0% for 60 months and $1,000 in bonus cash. And, of course, a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. And 2015 Elantra starting at $16,988 plus tax and tags. This celebration is going on all month long only at your home for Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Check out our inventory 24/7 at sunburymotors.com.
All rebates to dealer with approved credit. Not all buyers will qualify. See dealer for complete details.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car, picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself, and negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word, Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
By the way, in ranking safeties, I probably would put Polamalu probably fourth and Ed Reed fifth. My number three all-time safety, probably, and this guy is in the Hall of Fame, so there's actually seven safeties in the Hall of Fame, is Emlyn Tunnell. Played in the 50s with the New York Giants, in the early 60s with the Packers. He's the one that had 79 career interceptions.
In an era where they're not throwing the ball a lot, I would think.
Yeah. And a great punt returner. Emlyn Tunnell was a great... In fact, Emlyn Tunnell was known as offense on defense. And he was a free agent. He hitchhiked his way across the country to meet with Jack Mara of the Giants. Hitchhiked.
Now see, that's a story.
14 years in the NFL. He was the first African-American player ever to play for the New York Giants.